On June the 6th, 1944, the Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy. And as they were moving into harm's way and seeking the freedom of those trapped in Nazi Europe, President Roosevelt offered a prayer for the American people and to the American people. It was broadcast nationwide, and we will hear that prayer read by Paul. Also, we're going to be hearing a passage from Isaiah that speaks powerfully of the hope that we have, that indeed our swords will be beaten into plowshares. Paul, please.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of prayer, but because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer. As we rise to each new day, and again when the day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength too. Strengthen our daily tasks to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout, to wait out the long travail, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters of but fleeting moment, let us not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogances. Lead us to the saving of our country, and with our sister nations into a world unity that will sure spell peace. A peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all of men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah 2, 1 through 4. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. This is the word of the Lord.
It was very common for men who had seen the worst of battle, men who had experienced the mud and death of Passchendaele or Vimy Ridge or the Somme or Verdun, people who experienced the horrors of islands in the Pacific, to never want to talk about it. People would say, my dad or my grandfather, I know he was in the war, and I know that he was at those places, but I cannot remember a time that he spoke of it. Because what these people saw and what they experienced was so dark and so horrible that to speak of it in their minds would give it life again. And they wanted it to be forgotten. But some of them, as the years went by and as they saw that things were being forgotten, said, now is the time to speak. And they would begin to tell some of the stories of what they experienced, the terrible price that was paid to bring justice, hope, and peace back into the world. And we are better now as a people who have heard the stories and remember them. There is the old trope that those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. And that is said because there is truth to it. What we do not remember, we will fall into once again. Now, the First World War, which ended 100 years ago today, was called the war that would end all war. And people fought with a determination because they said, if we can get through this conflict, if we can achieve victory here, then there will be peace on earth. And we know, by having the perspective of 100 years later, that the First World War was not the war that ended all wars. That war has continued. Indeed, on the earth there has not been a day since then when there has not been war raging in one part or in big parts of it. And so the command, the need for us to remember, and the reason that we wear poppies on this day, the reason that we come together in church for a service of remembrance, is that we say we need to remember this. The Bible is a book of memories. And as you, as a student of the Word, read through the Bible and you listen to its message and you hear its call, you hear that it is indeed the call to remember. Remember in Joshua chapter 4, as the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River and finally came into the land of promise, that they were told to take stones and make a monument on the promised land side of the border so that they would remember. And what were they to remember? They were to remember all the hard things, all the bad things. They were to remember slavery. They were to remember the losses in the desert. They were to remember the times when they were disciplined by God. But they also were to remember the promise of God that came to fulfillment. They were to remember the provision of manna and quail in a land where there was nothing to eat for that great multitude. And they were to remember how God parted the waters, not only at the Red Sea, but at the Jordan, that they might enter in under the blessing of God. They were to remember all those good things. And so we also remember that Jesus, when he gave the Lord's Supper, he says, "Do this so that you remember me." And remember in Jesus, not just the persecutions that he faced, the resistance that he went up against, the times that things didn't go the way that he might have wished, but instead we add to that the memory of his love and of his sacrifice and victory, the salvation that we have in him. We are called to be a people who remember. Remember the things of God, and remember the things that come from the gift of God, which is a free land that we may protect. Now, it's more than just remembering, though. This isn't a time, and indeed our Christian life and our life as community of faith, isn't just about remembering, looking to the past. It is also to be a people of hope. And Remembrance Day for Canadians and people of goodwill around the world, and for those who come together as people of Christ, say, we are not just rememberers, we are also hopers. Hope that which has been overcome will find its fruition in God's time. Indeed, we look forward to the day when, as the soldiers of World War I said, "Let this be the war to end all wars," we say, yes, we will engage the battle. Whatever battle it is that we are called to participate in, with the hope that the darkness that we are fighting against will not have the last word. That the evil of discrimination or the evil of greed will not win the day. We hope that as our people go out to fight in the battle, whether it is the battlefield in Afghanistan, whether it is the battlefields of Europe, whether it is the Pacific Islands, or wherever it is they have to go, whether it is the spiritual battle which we are engaged in as the people of God, we must hope that all this striving and all this sacrificing will indeed result ultimately in the blessing that we dream of. We wear these poppies and we worship the Lord because we are indeed people of hope. As soldiers were in the heat of the battle, facing the worst of the enemy's assaults upon them, if they did not have hope of victory, and if they did not have hope that the result would be a better day and a better world, then they would not have placed themselves in danger for the cause. And if we as Christians did not have hope that what we do together and singly will indeed bring about a truer and clearer expression of the kingdom of God, then why would we bother? If we are people of hope, then indeed we will be true and continue on. So we remember and we hope. But it's more than that too, isn't it? Because remembering and hoping leads us to strive. If we remember those who have sacrificed on the battlefields that our nation called them to go to, if with them we have hope of a better day when there will be peace on this earth, then we would work also towards achieving that for which they sacrificed themselves. Then we will stand up against tyranny. We will put our hands up against those things that are evil and dark, that do not lead to peace. We would strive in our land for justice, for integrity, for kindness, for respect of one another. Those things are those things for which our soldiers put their lives on the line. But as Christian people, we know that we must remember the Lord. We must hope that what He accomplished will bear fruit in our lives and in our society and in our church. But then we also must strive to make that come into reality. We can't just say, oh, Jesus did it all, so we can sit back. We can't say, oh, we have leaders and they do all those good things, so we can sit back. Instead, we say, no, we all must strive together to accomplish that for which people have sacrificed and for which they had these great hopes. As we remember and as we hope, then we too will strive to make those things come into reality. We will make love be evident in this place. We will lift high the name of Jesus and work so that all who come into our community will understand who is this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit whom we worship and whom we say gives us our essential identity. We indeed will work together so that goodness and kindness, mercy and love are hallmarks and trademarks of us as a people and in this good land. We have a challenge, and it is a good challenge. Let us remember, let us hope, and together let us strive.